Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to say to you, and we'd like to submit to the nation, the voice of the human soul. Today, speaking from Homewood, Illinois, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. That's it. That is. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we, as always, we are very pleased to be here for this occasion. The radio broadcast on the first Sunday of each month. And we are happy, very happy, to see the many of you who are here from various cities, towns around the in these United States. We're very pleased to see you always. We thank God for our presence, and we ask Him to guide our mind and to guide our tongue so that we please what He has created us for, the calling that He has extended to us, the Creator of all things. I have to put my glasses on here. I forgot to do that. When we look at the world with the eyes of the struggling person, struggling with their life or with his or her life, struggling with life, we respond to what we are looking at. And most often, we are looking at the world all about us, of man-made things. And many times, man-made things in the environment brings us happiness, joy, lifts our spirit. But sometimes, man-made things do just the reverse. Make us feel depressed, make us feel lonesome, especially those persons who have what I call a free spirit. Persons who have a free spirit, not a free spirit for disobeying intelligence or a free spirit for disobeying moral decency, have a free spirit for just exploring the world of wonderful things and getting soul and spirit satisfaction. That's the free spirit I'm talking about. From persons of that free spirit, the world can be the world of mankind, of man, can be very depressing. Too cluttered. The spirit, free spirit, it flies high. It flies far. It needs space. And sometimes man's world is just too crowded, too cluttered, too confining for that spirit that God created the human being to have. You know, life, another way of saying life is existence. Existence covers not only the living things now, it also covers off non-living things. And existence itself for human life has what is needed in it to bring human life to move and get on the path to its success. Just the life itself, the existence itself has that. But if that life is influenced by and attracted by things small, and the intelligence hasn't been turned on to things big, then the life, the consequences will be that the life will be satisfied to live on small things and grow small. And life is conditioning, you know, conditioning. And when a fighter has to go in the ring, a boxer, like Muhammad Ali, the greatest one who stepped into the ring, the greatest of all fighters who stepped into a ring, that fighter has to condition himself. He conditioned himself to win. If he fails to condition himself, he may lose. And most likely he will lose if he fails to condition himself. Everything has to be conditioned. Everything that exists has to be conditioned. If it's not conditioned, it will not last. And it takes effort to condition life for its success. And I mentioned existence in itself being enough to move life forward. What is that existence? When you know, when you look at a rock and you don't see enough anything happening, it just seems to be permanently fixed where it is. It shows no life, no growth, no movement. And then you think about yourself. You should feel blessed that you are not a stone. Yes. And when you look at those living things that attract our attention and impart sometimes great messages, holding knowledge to our minds, the lion, the elephant, the other beautiful creatures roaming the earth, attractive creatures roaming the earth. But when you think on the smallest and the biggest, and then you think on yourself, you should feel blessed. Because you don't have to be deprived of freedom to enlarge upon your existence and to expand upon your existence and to project your existence into bigger and better pictures of life. Right. Whereas those things that are held in the mold of nature, of their behavior that's given to them by nature, and their freedom that's given to them by nature, they are held in that mold. And you are now, you are able to come from off of your knees, not literally, off of your life of being no higher and no more productive and no more free than the animals that are walking on fours. You're able to rise up from that position on the totem pole of life and come into the freedom of your human form. Come into the productivity of your human form. Come into the visions of your human form. And outstretch everything existing on the planet Earth. This is a wonderful creation, the human creation. And that's what you need to turn life on for you. So that no matter what you face, or no matter what you're confronted with, from the natural world or man's world, it won't set you back. That is, not in your hopes, not in your dreams, not in your vision, not in your determination to achieve better. I'm not giving you anything that is already given, even before man is made. Life is hunger. Hunger drives life. Feeding hungers makes life grow bigger. The bigger the life, the bigger the invitation to life. Life invites bigger appetites. Life grows and hunger grows. On the ground, life grows bigger and life multiplies. Many varieties of life eventually are present to look at. The ground grows to be beautiful and rich. Life on the move is working like a timepiece. To know if a timepiece is working, look to see if the timepiece is doing what it is known for doing. The hands are going from big to little, from little to big. The timepiece is working. To know if the human life is working, look to see if life is doing what life is known for doing over the long road of human history. The hands of life are going from big grown-ups to little children. From those children growing up back to the old other grown-ups. The hands reaching out from the present for the future. The timepiece is working. The grown-ups stretching their hands out to the children. Their children, in return, stretch their hands out to the grown-ups. Life is working. The ground floor spreads more to serve mouths, hungry mouths, more than a meal for the flesh, to serve what is needed for the whole of life. Life needs food. Life needs a food source and an address to call my spread. Yes. Life needs a clothing source, a housing source, a promising job, a money source. Such as this, every form of life was formed to afford. Spreading sands, terrains brings hard times like the deserts of Africa and other places. Deserts that once flourished, but by natural causes, we say, they became deserts. However, were the preceding generations kind-hearted or kind-natured?
Good question.
And were moved toward the future to be attentive to future needs? They would have fed the land in return. They would have fed the land that fed them. That is the ground from which they were getting their food. They would have fed the land, given back to the land, so there would be a better future for their children. When the old have passed on their usefulness and are resting in peace.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hear what the bigger world, the world bigger than man, or the world that man did not make. Hear what it has to say. Natural phenomena, picture talks. The sky view, the clouds, the night view, the returning day, the positions of moon, the moon, the position of sun, the sun, the lower position of moon, the higher position of the sun, picture view talks. The sun rising to the higher position is defended on more than one account. Firstly, the sun puts light on matters not seen in the dark. And again, the sun fires up production. When the sun is shining on a garden, and the sun light is bright and hot, the production of beans is much greater. Not only beans, but other crops as well. The sun lifts the human spirit. And then the sun sets for a well-deserved rest. And what is the picture talk? It is rest. The sun rests upon his labor. The sun has labored from dawn to sunset. And it has fed not only the mouths, but it has fed also the spirit. And it rests, takes its rest. Fed the body and the spirit. And it takes its rest. Well-deserved rest, I repeat, because all day, all the daylight time, it was laboring. This is speaking of the sun with the voice of the poet, with the voice of the philosopher, or with the voice of the singer who speaks of the sun rolling round in heaven all along, all along. Yes, rolling round in heaven. But that sun doesn't really roll around in heaven for foolishness. It comes up and makes the arc, half the circle, going up and going down, back down to rest. But to go uphill is not easy. And to roll downhill too fast is dangerous. So the sun has a great message. It goes up and then it goes down. It seems to be rising slowly. And it seems to set fast. Fast. Once it gets close to the earth, it seems to just set fast.
That's right.
Well, that's the time you can speed up a little bit, when the fall is not too long. But it goes down slowly. And then when it gets near the earth, it quickly goes to its rest. There is great guidance that the world itself, the natural world, or the world of natural phenomena, imparts to the curious and thinking person, who's thinking not on himself, thinking not on the glory of man, but thinking on the wonders of creation. The wonders of creation. That kind of thinking produced what is called philosophers. It produced what is called seers. It even produced what is called prophets. In scriptures, we have prophets saying that they studied God's handiwork. I'm using the exact word in scripture that they use, handiwork. It means the work that they thought that God's controls brought about. And they said that that work itself brought them to believe in God. To believe that this couldn't have happened in such a marvelous way. To speak to human souls, mind, and spirit. And make the human mind and the human life so resourceful and so productive. They said that this couldn't happen without there being an intelligence bigger than man bringing it about. That's the thinking, I repeat, of the philosophers from whom this world got science, the sciences. And that's the speaking of prophets who brought the great religions to earth for us. Now, we want to have a peaceful life. We want to have happiness. We want to have comforts. Don't rest on foolishness. When I say rest, I mean find relief. Not just go to bed at night from a day's work or from a day's activities. I'm talking about resting your energies, resting your efforts. That message that we get from the sunrise and the sun setting. Yes, resting your energies, resting your efforts. So we want to rest our energy, we want to rest our efforts. We go to fun. That's okay. We go to a party. That's okay. We go to a gathering, a social gathering. All of that's okay. But don't go to something that's going to bring your good life down. If the party appeals to your indecency, that will bring your good life down. If it appeals to your ignorance, that will bring life down. If it appeals to your wildness, that will bring life down. So find relief, yes, as the sun takes relief in the darkness after it worked all the time in the light, all the day long in the light. It takes relief in the darkness. It rests to rejuvenate itself. So it come back up again strong to face the long day of work again. And that's what we should do. We should rest upon our labor. A man gets more satisfaction. A woman too, but I'm speaking to a man right now. A man gets more satisfaction resting upon his labor than he gets from any other kind of rest. When he has worked and he looks at his work and he knows he has progressed his work, he knows he has made an achievement. He has made an accomplishment. He accomplished things that he had in his heart and mind to do. When he looks at it after he finished his labor, that's the best rest that he'll ever get. He cannot get any rest better than that. That makes it possible for him to sleep through the night. These people who think that rest is just on play, fun, having a ball, they sometimes can't rest at night. In New York, they call New York, you know, the city that never sleeps. And you find in New York, at any time of the night, people out on the streets, especially youngsters.
That's right.
Out on the streets.
That's right.
Why? Because they can't rest at night. So they stay up all night and sleep in the day. They're called night people. That's what they call them, night people. They're out in the streets all night. When day comes, they go home to rest, to sleep. This is a reversal of their original nature. Every living thing, except maybe a few widows among the jungle creatures, they're widows in our life. They become widows, weird widows, okay? In our life. It's okay if he's out there in the jungle as a snake, or out there in the jungle as a bat that's blind in the daytime, or as a cat hunting, or lion hunting, or night creature. They're okay out there. But if you become that kind of creature and don't know how to place that scene, you become very weird.
Right.
Yes. But if you see the darkness in the jungle as the confusion of life that permits no light of understanding, then you can become a night hunter.
Yeah.
Hunting through the confusion of the world. To make it through the night, to see another day. Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Yes. This world is too big for man.
Yes.
This world is too big for man. And the best work that man has done is the work that he has done reading creation, reading natural phenomena. And then extracting from natural phenomena the knowledge, the message, the science for building his world. So never think that man has stepped ahead of matter. He never steps ahead of matter. Matter is always ahead of man. And he will stop moving forward if he turns himself off from matter. Science continues to grow because man continues to go to matter to get science. Yes. And everything else that we have of benefit in our life, we owe it to the earth and to the heavens that imparts also picture instructions to the man, to the mind of human beings. So we are the product of our mother. And our mother is firstly Mother Earth. Then we are the product also of the heavens.
Yes.
And the heavens taken together, or seen together with the earth, represents all matter. And what is all matter? Mother, again.
Mm-hmm.
Big Mama. Yes, all matter is Big Mama. So man has to expand his interest and expand his vision to include all matter in his interests. And then he can take help from the skies. Huh? And the scripture says, not one, but both. The scripture says, you are supplied, your needs are supplied from heaven and from earth. Your needs, speaking of all people, not one people, speaking of all people. Scripture says, I'm speaking of scripture in the total picture of scripture. For after all, our scripture, the last book, for Muslims called Quran, is a continuation of scripture that was before the Quran.
Right.
So scripture is one continuous movement, one continuous progression to bring home the promise, so that everybody can have it in its completion. Yes, matter, Mother Earth, but then matter itself, all matter. And if we can look at the picture of natural phenomena, are all matter, and see for yourself with your own thinking, with your own mind, see its beauty, see its conversation, see its language that is important through its pictures. The picture of sun.
Yes.
The picture of sunlight.
Yes, sir.
Where it going? The sun sends its light. And it sends its light to its job.
Yes.
The job of energizing dead things and bringing dead things to life. With the help of water and air, we know. Yes. So you know what? If you really study the physical sky, the lower sky clouds, the lower clouds, the higher heavens of stars, you study all that, you get a great message. The clouds form. And many times they form promising good health to a dry garden or dry farmland. Promising good health. And that makes the farmer so happy when he sees the rain clouds gathering. Now, when they gather now, the sun is not going to be out. The sun is not going to be out. The clouds are forming. And he's so happy.
Yes.
The lower heavens is promising relief to his dry land.
Right.
Yes. And sometimes the same picture promises bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Storms. Loss of life, etc. But if you read the whole, if you read not just Mother Earth, but you read Mother Matter, you know in bad times that what I'm seeing is not really an absence of the sun. The sun is still where it always it was intended to be. It's there, but this disturbance is blocking my view. The sun is still on time, rising and setting, shining and producing energy for life and production, even while this trouble is hanging overhead. Yes. So if you read it that way, you have the patience to survive the time of trouble, to see another time of great hope. See, this is what we need to give to our children, to our young generation, so that the world doesn't crush them. The world doesn't kill hope in them. They live and they have confidence.
Yes.
Even when the White House is upset.
Yes.
Even when the government is clouding up the view.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
The clouds are forming from the White House.
Yes.
And clouding up our view.
Yes.
And we're saying, oh, this is a bad time.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. It is. But with the right view on matter.
Yes.
Mother Earth and Mother Matter. With the right view on that, you can endure. You can even be happy when everything else is sad. You can be happy because you know it's just a matter of time when the clouds are going to disappear The trouble is going to go away. And it's going to be a bright, sunny day of hope and production again. Huh? So don't underestimate the handiworks of the Creator. Huh? He writes a script bigger than anybody's holy book. And if you can read it, you will have life eternity. Life eternal. Yes. You don't have to die in one generation. Pass that hope to your children, and they will, and your life will continue in them. Not just your biological life, but your spiritual life will continue in your children. Your rational life will continue in your children. Your vision for the future will be continued in your children. And that's how communities under God thrive and survive all the troubles that man can produce. And their generation keeps the covenant. They keep the covenant. They keep the contract with God, the Maker. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Come on.
And they outlive the devil even. Yes, they outlive the devil. The devil has to set. He has to go down, get out of the picture. Live to put the devil to rest. I'm telling you. Yes, so we should look at what man is doing when we are miserable and question him. He's not God. And his works is not the bigger work. His work is the smaller work. The bigger work is the mother matter. The universe. And some of us, we talk about getting our crown of stars. Yes, but get my crown of stars. And we don't know what we're talking about. Crown of stars don't mean something physical, some trinket. That you're going to wear on your head physically as a cap or a hat or something. Crown of stars means that the great wisdom on high that reveals to man by picture language how he should order his own world down here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't try to have one light. The higher knowledge is the knowledge of the higher sky or the higher heavens. The sun is one light. Don't try to have one light, but have many lights.
Yes. All right.
See the bigger picture.
Yes.
See how many big suns, like our sun, are distance away, and we can't see them except at night with the help of telescopes sometimes. But we can see them visibly with our eyes. We can't understand them all the time. And they are big stars with their families. And they are moving in the heavens or in matter space, just like our sun. So matter space accommodates many great leaders with their following. So don't be selfish. Want to have one leader, and that's you. You want to be the only leader? No. To have the bigger picture and the bigger world and the bigger rewards, we have to welcome every qualified son, every qualified leader. Come on and let us work together. Let us be one matter system. And let us serve life here and hereafter. That's the way we should be. I don't know what you call God, but whatever made Mother Matter, made Mother Matter to mother all of us, to nourish the mind, spirit, and soul of all of us, and grow us up, and prepare us to be grown up in her system, working with the best of the people, and respecting the rights of every qualified person to have their own environment, to have their own place, to have their own freedom of movement, to move their own following. As long as we conform to the overriding system created by the one bigger than it all. Allahu Akbar. You said it, brother. You said it. God is bigger. Yes, God is bigger. Yes. Now, you know, we're looking at these little small jobs we got down here to do. And we're just bumping heads and stumbling over each other and setting each other back, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose. Yes. And we think we got something going. These things, not even big as ants. Yeah, but that kind of work is a smaller work than the work of ants. And they're small. Sometimes you can't even see them. But my eye is dimming a little bit, you know. I have to look close to see an ant crawling on the sidewalk now, especially if it's a small one. And I remember I used to see them from a distance before I even got to them. See a little small ant crawling? Yes. But those little ants, they got a bigger world than petty people backbiting, backstabbing, scheming to get over, ahead and over somebody else. That is too ridiculous to tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate that from each other. We are supposed to be each other's friend. We are supposed to be each other's brother and sister. When we see someone behaving like a night creature crawling on the earth, we should tell them, lift yourself up, brother. Lift yourself up, sister. That mind you got has reduced you to a little night creature crawling around on the earth. Yes, and this is another thing that we should observe, that how the picture language of Mother Matter reaches us. Have you noticed that most things that live under the ground, they are not so attractive? When you look at them, they look dull. They don't have bright looking light. They look dull. Now also on the desert. And there's some people who wants to be great leaders, but they don't want us to have the garden. They want to keep life a desert. They don't produce any beauty on the land. They are not interested in beautifying the ground, beautifying the land. They're like a desert. Few flowers scattered about. You have to go for miles and miles just to find a beautiful flower. And when you find it, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I'm telling you, if you can survive on this desert that they create for us, you beautiful. You are really beautiful. But you don't find it in abundance. You don't find the big tree of flowers. You don't find the big bush of flowers. It's a little dainty thing, very small. But God has favored it to survive. The greed, the selfishness of persons who just rather see nothing than to have people share in it. So we have people right among us who are working hard to keep our environment a desert. Now, how do you expect for them to look when you find them? How are they going to look to a believer? They're going to look like a creeper, a critter, living under a rock, and coming out because they're ashamed of how bad they look. They come out, sneak out. And when they get out, they run real fast to hurry up and get back up under the rock because they're ashamed of this old dull look that they got, this old fleshless look that they got, this old beauty void look that they got. So they're coming out, and they were ashamed of the way they look. They just run out of the rock, and when they think it's clear, they run out from under the rock, run and grab something, and run right back up under the rock. Not only animal creatures or insects, but also the plants that grow up. This thing grew up in the desert, and it looks unattractive. You don't want to embrace it. You don't want to take it in your hands and hug it. You don't want to put it in your hair, sister, stick it in your hair like you do those nice little flowers. You don't want to stick it in there. It might prick your skin and bring blood. Thorns and thistles. Huh? That's that barren land. Producing thorns and thistles. This is what? Mother Matter speaking. Mother Matter talking. It ain't just out there to exist. God made the world to speak to the mind and open the mind for bigger pictures and equip the mind for better futures. Yes. So believe me, it's time to wake up, come out of your confusion, stop glorifying man, and look at Mother Earth, and look at the bigger mother, Big Mama, Mother Matter. And I'm going to bring this broadcast, this first Sunday broadcast, to a conclusion, wishing you all God's blessings, wishing you all freedom, but the freedom to go where Mother Matter invites us to go. Not the freedom to go to that brings life down, makes life indecent, weak, and inferior, and keep the communities stale, static, non-productive. We thank God for this day, and thank God for this freedom to reach you by way of broadcast and radio. And we appreciate all of you who have made efforts to open more opportunities for us to speak on more stations and reach more people in these great United States. We thank you very much. May God give you rewards forever for your good work. And may you work together as brothers and sisters and be in the big picture. And don't let yourself, your own work, reduce you to a little small, unattractive thing. And lastly, we know that it costs money. We appreciate your efforts you are making to raise funds to finance the Sunday broadcast. The first Sunday of the month broadcast. We appreciate all of you. And the Mosque Cares is always here. We will also dispense some funds when needed or when the business people can't provide for this need. We are prepared also to make funds available because this is a very important. It's very important that life work together. And that people who have life in them be told that there are efforts made not by one individual, but efforts made by organizations that are community organizations.
Right.
Efforts being made to help brighten life up and lift life up for progress on this earth. So we want you to know that you have many friends and brothers and sisters working for the whole. Never feel that you are alone. Never feel that something's not being done about bad conditions in the world. And lastly, I know I have come to believe in angels. And I know even while we are working and thinking we have no help among human beings, angels are always aware and they are working with us. So don't give up. Keep your faith and don't let the nasty and inhuman world kill your spirit. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Now, I'm going to take a few minutes break, and I'm going to ask if there are any announcements or anything that has to be brought to our attention to please do it now. Yes, Sister Amatullah, come forward. I'm going to take a little break here. And then we want to talk about salvation. And we're going to talk about the Savior. Because I've for some reason, God didn't intend for me to be in Detroit. But we're here today. No Imam Debedeen Muhammad. And it's on a Sunday, so traffic is very heavy on the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. So they tell me to go to Certain Gate, and I could get a flight to Detroit, but they couldn't guarantee it because I would have to go standby. So I went there, and I waited for that plane. It came in. As soon as it got in, they didn't call anybody. In fact, right away they said, the plane is full. Plane is full. So I couldn't go on that plane. I stayed there like 3:30 at the airport trying to get something, and I was unable to get it. And I said, well, Muslim supposed to tie his camel. And under the circumstances, I tried to tie my camel. But still, nothing happened. I wasn't able to go to Detroit. So I believe that some of you are here today that was there in Detroit. And I thank you for understanding. And thank you for your great spirit. Thank you for your presence here today. And inshallah, I will go over the important matters that I had for that occasion. Now, you know, I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar was giving us. I was a baby at that time, but he was giving it to all of us. I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar, the teacher of my father, who actually taught my mother how to cook the Nation of Islam food, what came to be the Nation of Islam food. He actually worked in the kitchen with my mother, showing my mother how to make those dishes, brown the rice and everything. And he also did it. My aunt has passed away too, but he also taught my aunt. She was one of his secretaries. I'm talking about the one who taught my father, not my father. She was one of his secretaries, and he taught her how to cook too, in her kitchen, taught her how to cook. my aunt Bernstein, who passed away a few years ago in Detroit, Michigan. Yes, so this man that I'm talking about, he spoke in language that he called mathematical theology. This is written in the lessons by him. This is not, this can be proven. So I know there's not a Dalton Thomas in here. and a lot of those who want to keep to their old way of thinking. But if you're here, then understand this, that I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change a bit. I love you just the way you are. Because I know even though you hold those old original ideas, you are good people, you have good hearts, you mean well, you live good lives, and I love you. I love you very much. But I wish you would accept freedom. Freedom is here now. Yeah. And he promised freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he promised. Freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he said Islam was. And it used to be written on the blackboard. Painted on the blackboard. So you couldn't erase it all. And it had the American flag on one side and the Nation of Islam flag on the other side. And between the two flags, it had the bad treatment that we were getting back there. A black man hanging from a noose, from a rope, on a tree, from a tree limb. And the letters on the national flag, the Nation of Islam flag, were F-J-E. And on the staff of the flag was I. And the letter I stood for Islam. And that was to say to us that in Islam, you are promised freedom, justice, and equality. And I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the earlier days when I was a preteen and a teenager and even a little after that. Whenever you walked into the temple door, you opened the temple door, the first thing you would see, if the speaker wasn't speaking, would be that blackboard with that picture on it, saying what I just gave to you. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would hardly ever miss saying on Sundays when he gave his speeches, his talk, his message, he wouldn't hardly ever miss saying that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. That went into me as a boy and as a teenager. It went into me. And I was showing pictures of our people, actual lynchings that were instilled. My father saved old papers. He saved old papers that showed actual lynchings of our people were hanging from a tree. One picture I remember seeing looked like to me it was at least five. It might have been as many as seven or eight black men hanging from trees where they lynched them in a group. They lynched a number of them, not one person. And they were hanging in a group. I remember him giving me a picture. I don't like to tell you about it. I don't like to look at it. I don't like to think about it. But I have to.